got our first taste of winter this week in New York City, a storm that started over the weekend, continued into Tuesday morning. First, it was a prediction for 1 to 3 inches. Then at one point, we were talking about 5. The mayor came up with an 8-inch prediction. As the storm picked up in strength, it mostly stayed rainy in the city, not turning into snow as had been feared. But the city wasn't messing around. They told people, leave your cars at home. They were considering whether to cancel school. Salt spreaders out on the road, 1,500 plows ready to go.
We've learned to be cautious, get our equipment ready, get in ready position with our personnel. You can always take it down, but if things start to kick up, you know, you can't get to the dance too late, you know?
That's what ended up happening. They did have to take it down. Tuesday morning, we only had about 1.5 inches of snow in Central Park. I had nothing on the sidewalk in front of my place in Brooklyn. So today on the podcast, predicting a storm and the implications of that and how meteorologists deal with that. I'm Pat Kernan. This is Crosstown. Crosstown is New York One's weekly look at the story behind the story. We talk to New York One's reporters about the next layer of the story and show you the bigger picture. Almost every little story in New York tells a bigger story. I'm joined in the studio by New York One meteorologist Eric Adama. You have seen him usually in the evenings on New York One. He is a morning person with us now 5 days a week on Mornings on One.
Yeah, threw me right into it on a Monday. We
did a lot of weather segments, more than usual, on your first day on the show. You've been with us before.
I have. So it wasn't a huge jump, but it was kind of like starting the first day of a new school year with a test. Like an exam, a pop quiz, if you will, you know, with a tough forecast, because we were forecasting snow that was going to start as rain and change to snow. And those are always really tough forecasts for any meteorologist.
You've not worked with me that much, but you probably have figured out that I come to the program with my Canadian winter bias, which is that winter is something that happens every year.
Right.
We should be prepared to deal with it. And we should make the assumption that we are going to surmount the obstacle rather than just wave the white flag the first minute that a snow forecast comes in.
And even here, even if you're from here in New York, you've lived here your entire life, the reality is that most storms don't live up to the hype. That most of us are going to be just fine and completely not even impacted, other than maybe it took 20 minutes longer to get to work. That's what happens most of the time. Every now and then you have something like November 15th last year, where we had the 6 inches of snow in the evening and traffic was at a standstill. That happens sometimes, but I would say that's maybe 1% of the time.
You when you were a little kid, you were in California.
Right.
But then you moved to real winter weather in Albany.
And that's what got me into weather in the first place. I realized that weather can change. It's not the same thing every single day.
Would you agree with me that we've gone soft with the weather?
I think we have. And I think a lot of it is social media, people talking, you know, chatting about what's going to happen. You don't just get your news and weather and all other types of information from the media. You get it from, hey, I heard from so-and-so. So it's instead of that water cooler conversation being just around the water cooler, now it's sort of all across social media.
Yeah.
And then things just get amplified.
It's really easy to second guess a decision too.
Yes.
Like right now, I'm going to play the sound of your forecast on Monday morning.
We'll see rain mixing with snow and then changing to snow altogether with a total of about 1 to 3 inches of snow, most of that falling this evening.
So that was in the morning. And then here's the midday forecast.
Here are your headlines. Snow will continue to increase, could be heavy at times. We are forecasting now 3 to 5 inches of snow. If you're watching this morning, our forecast was originally 1 to 3. So we've increased that just a little bit.
This is one of those cases where, in retrospect, your first guess was, you know, they tell you when you're taking a test, your first, you know, go with A, because that's what your gut feeling was. I probably should have done that. But that wasn't just a guess. That was based on model information. That is not a guess. That's a lot of information going into a forecast model. And everything was on that consensus that this storm would produce a lot of liquid precipitation, which it did. Where it went wrong is that it was just a degree or two too warm for that snow to stick. So we predict with liquid equivalent, we got a 1/2 inch of
liquid. Typically, if that was in January or February, that would be 5 inches of snow.
You have chosen a profession where you say you're going to predict something. You right. know that you can't predict it with 100% accuracy. So are you comfortable with owning the mistake?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with owning the mistakes because I know that. I know that it's not just a guess, but I also know that I can't get up there every day and say everything else that's going on in the background. I can't say, well, this model says this and this model says that. And if this happens, then that happens because I'm going to confuse everyone. So you have to really pick something that you think is the most likely mm-hmm. scenario based on my experience, based on what I've learned overseeing hundreds of storms, if not more, that this is what I think is going to happen this time around.
Eric's already mentioned this, that storm on November 15th of 2018. It was expected to be a pretty easy to handle early season snowfall. It turned into 6 inches of snow and it particularly developed in the afternoon. So you had everybody at work thinking it wasn't...
the worst timing ever.
Right, because everybody went to work as usual thinking it right. wasn't going to... It would be a slow but not ridiculous commute home. All the schools were open. And the way that snow... froze to the roads, the George Washington Bridge shut down, 4-hour commutes, kids.
It was awful. Quickly, it turned awful that afternoon and evening.
Yeah, here's how Mayor de Blasio described that situation to me at that time last year.
Pat, it was horrible, and I totally understand why people are so frustrated from it. We had here, you know, I don't want to use an overused phrase, but we had something of a perfect storm that a bunch of things came together very suddenly, not just the weather. You know, we got just about every form of bad luck we could have gotten yesterday.
So after that, the city is feeling the heat. You know, ultimately, there was a change in the Office of Emergency Management. The Emergency yeah. Management Commissioner wasn't immediately pushed out, but it became clear that he was going to be replaced.
Someone had to be blamed for the city not reacting the way that they thought they should have. But he was sort of right that this was sort of the perfect storm. That
yeah, I don't know why it all landed on him.
Yeah, the
sanitation department didn't clear the roads.
However, you know, I remember thinking that there was not a lot of salt on the roads before that storm came through, but that was based on a forecast that was mostly rain.
So this gets back to my earlier point, which is, If you live your life by better to be safe than sorry, you're going to do a lot of things that turn out to be unnecessary. You could salt the roads like crazy every time there's a hint of snow in the forecast, but that would mean that 80% of the time you just wasted the salt.
And that's kind of what happened, I think, last year. If you paid attention through the rest of the season, we'd be forecasting flurries and the ground would be white.
Right, right.
Because they really took that, well, we're not taking another chance in the fact that, you know, when the forecast is a flurry, it could be 6 inches is what the way they looked at it. But the way I look at it is that that was a completely different situation where if I'm forecasting flurries or light snow, I know the difference between whether or not that storm can turn into a 6-inch storm or if it's just flurries, because like I was mentioning before about liquid equivalents.
Yeah, there's the risk factors.
A risk factor. Is that going to fall in the form of rain or snow? Mm-hmm. There's sort of a worst case scenario, best case scenario. And a lot of the times they just go overboard with the salt, I've noticed, over preparing for something that there's no chance it's going to be a big storm.
We're always surprised when winter comes.
Seem that way? Every year it's like a panic, like, oh, the first snowflakes are falling. And it's, you know, from my perspective, I see it every year. So at this point, I'm sort of used to it, but it's kind of like getting ready for this attack, like the whole town's coming in, because regardless of what I say, mm-hmm. I'm going to be wrong for the first storm. It's either going to be worse than I said or not as bad as I said. No one has ever, in my experience, ever said, you got the first one perfectly right.
I always marvel at the number of shovels that hardware stores sell the first storm of the season.
You can't find a shovel. Yeah, I couldn't find one last year.
95% of homeowners owned a home last winter. Did they throw the shovels out?
Well, you know what happened to me is mine broke.
Okay,
that snow was so heavy, it broke on the first storm. I went to go buy a new one and I couldn't find one.
So, but a couple of weeks ago, when we knew that winter was coming, we didn't know this particular storm was in the forecast, we set up an interview with the new commissioner of the New York City Emergency Management Department. Deanne Criswell is the new commissioner. And she says that they have looked at previous storms, including that one in November of last year, and what she said in response to my questions about are we overreacting to snow, that snow is an emergency.
It's not an emergency in the same sense that a flood or a fire or a crane collapses.
Oh, but it is, right? I mean, it is an emergency when there's severe weather. People's lives could be at risk, yeah. Right? And so what we do is we've already had a couple of tabletop exercises to bring all the city agencies together so we can test our policies, test our procedures, and so we all have an understanding of what each other is doing.
And that's a drill where you create a scenario and everybody responds to mm-hmm. that.
Yes, and we did it right over here in our EOC and had really open, frank conversation about, you know, what kind of information people want, what kind of resources they're going to send. And we took a lot of lessons from previous snow mm-hmm. events, right, and changed some of our protocols.
One of those protocol changes was that they had been activating their storm command center when there was a forecast for 6 inches of snow. They've said they've taken that down to 3 inches. Is that prudent in your mind?
You know, I've mentioned this a few times, if you ever watch me on the air, that it isn't always about the numbers, to whether it's 3 inches, 6 inches, or 12 inches. Sometimes the 3 inches, if you get 3 inches of snow at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and it's snowing at 1 to 2 inches per hour, but it only snowed for 2 hours.
Yeah, with a rapidly falling temperature, right, or something like that.
And then you have the perfect scenario where, yeah, traffic is going to be horrible and that they need to respond to that quickly. But if you're going to get 6 inches of snow spread out over 12 hours, that's not the same as getting 3 inches in a couple of hours. So I think lowering it to 3 makes sense because not every storm is the same. You can't quantify 3 inches as being a lower storm than mm-hmm. 6 inches, unless you also quantify, like, how long is, yeah, that happening over?
Well, they have now hired their own meteorologist because apparently they don't trust you.
No, I think it's they don't trust the National Weather Service sometimes. Their information can be confusing sometimes. And so I think they wanted to get someone that they could ask questions.
But that was interesting on Monday because you were in that 1 to 3 range. You,
right,
second-guessed yourself and said maybe as much as 5. But then the mayor comes out in a press conference and says, it looks like we could be getting 8 inches.
Yeah, I got called into a meeting. I was eating a bagel. Like, what? Hey, come in here. The mayor just said we're getting 5 to 8 inches of snow. What's up with that?
Well, then you say
you're
he's
saying
wrong?
1 to 3. Well, I said, I don't know where he's getting that from. At that point in the morning, there was nothing that would have suggested going 5 to 8.
Probably got it from Channel 7 or something like that.
Some other channel
4.
I'm not sure. He wasn't watching the right channel. Apparently, well, I wasn't looking at the right information either. But, you know, at that point, the temperature was dropping. The new model information came out. And like I was mentioning, it suggested at least 3 to 5 inches of snow. So that's what I went with. And I actually felt that was a conservative forecast based on what was happening at mm-hmm. that time in the morning. The temperature dropped to freezing. It's, in a way, it's almost opposite of what happened a year ago in November. And that day, it was snowing and it was supposed to turn to rain. The temperature was supposed to go up.
Yeah.
It didn't. It dropped to 28 degrees and then started snowing harder during the evening rush. This time, with this storm, it was raining, changed over to snow earlier, the temperature started to drop, and I kind of felt like, oh my goodness, this is happening again. Let's get ahead of it. 3 to 5.
We had a lot of those last year where we were right on that 31, 32, 33 degree mark.
Every year this happens. There's so many storms because of where we are.
Yeah, I mean, it's coastal climate, right?
Exactly. The ocean's warming us up. The inland areas bringing in the colder air, we're always sitting right around 32 degrees. I'm probably going to have a lot more gray hairs over the next few years with these storms. That's all right. Maybe someone will pay for my hair dye.
So when I was talking to the Emergency Management Commissioner, Criswell, I waved my Canadian flag and said, come on, it's just a bit of snow. Just why do we have to always blow this out of proportion and cancel schools? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be safe, but there are small amounts of snow that we can choose to overcome. Anyway, here was her response to my little bit of snow remark.
Even with a little bit of snow, let alone a large amount of snow, that just gets magnified. And so we want to have those conversations about how much slack can the system absorb? What can we do to keep things moving? And do we think it's going to get to a point where it's not going to move?
So that's where the advisory goes out about take, yeah, the subway if you can today.
Well, I think that's the biggest, yeah, point, right? I mean, the best thing that I can tell New Yorkers to do is stay informed, right? They need to listen to what's going on.
Yeah, listening to what's going on is a challenge when everyone's saying something different and you have so many different ways to get information. It's tough, especially if you have the mayor up there saying 5 to 8 inches of snow out of what seemed to be nowhere, this 1 to 3 and then 5 to 8.
That's when you probably can be more transparent in your forecast. In that the information that you would normally keep behind the scenes, you might want to put some of that out there and say, here's why I think we're going to end up at 3 inches and not 8 inches.
You really have to explain why you changed the forecast.
Without being too sciencey.
Which is always a challenge, because then it goes right over people's heads. But yeah, you have to explain what's going on. But I think as a citizen of this city or a person living in this city, that you trying to stay informed about what's going on can be very difficult when you have information coming from the mayor that says 5 to 8 and the headlines sort of look panicky. The city has something called a snow alert. This is something that drives me insane. But a snow alert basically tells everyone that, hey, I've instructed the sanitation department to prepare for salting roadways.
Yeah, to me, a snow alert seems like it should be a flashing emergency broadcast system
message.
It sounds
alarming, like we're getting a massive snowstorm. Yet, ahead of an event, it could be a small one, an inch or two. If the city plans on salting the roads, we're going to get dozens of these through the winter. They'll issue a snow alert. It's alarming. So as a person living in the city, when a snow alert's issued and you hear that, it causes confusion. How do you know what's going to happen? How do you know whether or not, hey, I should take the train instead of drive to work? How do you know whether or not I should plan on daycare because my kids might not have school tomorrow, when you're hearing things like snow alert, but that sounds like a massive snowstorm, when really what they just mean is we're getting 1 to 2 inches of snow.
You often do something in the morning, which is like your report card style grade for
right.
the day. Am I allowed as the anchor to then argue with you like a parent would do if they didn't think their teacher got a good grade? Like if you call
Absolutely.
It, if you say it's a B minus and I think, no, that's a C.
And I encourage people to do that. This happens all the time. You know how many times I've given a rainy day in the summer an F and someone says, I love rainy days. I sit inside and read books all day. I'm like, yeah, but
you're wrong.
I go, maybe think of it more as what kind of weather would I prefer to stand outside all day long in, a rainy day or a day with sunshine and 70 degrees.
And then my final question is, how are you coping with the morning shift so far? Do you need any sleep advice?
Do I need sleep advice?
I don't know. Are you a napper?
You know, I've been avoiding the naps and just trying to stay awake because I'm concerned that I'm not going to be sleepy enough when it comes time to fall asleep. So I've been avoiding the naps. And so far, I think I'm doing pretty well.
You've seemed awake and alert during the program.
I seem that way. And then I go sit down and take I got 7 minutes in between hits. So I take a 7 minute nap and then I appear awake again. Yeah, but I'm doing pretty well, I think.
Nice to have you on the team.
It's nice to be here.
Thanks for coming in today. When we come back, a famous auditorium gets a makeover that brings the audience closer to the music. Welcome back to Crosstown. David Geffen Hall in Lincoln Center is the home of the New York Philharmonic. It has never been a beloved concert hall. The acoustics are not on par with the world's best, but now David Geffen Hall will get a $550 million makeover. They'll move the stage by 25 feet. The audience will be hugging the stage on the sides. Paul Scarborough, who's designing the acoustics, explains what this means for the audience experience.
That is going to transform the concert-going experience for the audience. No longer will you feel like passive observers of the music, having it handed down to you like in a classroom setting. Instead, you're going to feel as if you're an active, joyful participant in the music-making experience.
The renovations will cost more than just the money. David Geffen Hall, the former Avery Fisher Hall, will lose 500 seats. Maybe they make up for it by bringing more of the community in. There'll be a massive video wall installed in the lobby for those who aren't able to get inside to see the show. Billy Shea is one of the architects.
If you're a passerby and would like to stop in and catch part of the concert, or if you can't afford a ticket. So that's a way of connecting to the outside world.
That construction will begin in 2022. David Geffen Hall will close for some portions of that time, but will also be open for periods of the construction project, which will wrap up entirely by 2024. That's this week's episode of Crosstown. Thank you for listening. As always, subscribe to Crosstown anywhere you listen to podcasts and check out our entire catalog of past podcasts at ny1.com/crosstown.